Morning. Today's daf Mabba Kama is Ayin Tes. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zeichon Nishmas Liba Gavriel Bashmuel. We are today starting on Ayin Chesmud Beis. We are a little bit after the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the sale of an animal after having stolen the animal. Seventh parak of Mabba Kama, we are in the middle of discussing the compounding errors that are made. You stole the animal, and then after having stolen the animal, so then you decide to either shecht the animal or sell the animal. Torah imposes a fine upon the person for the theft itself, so you have to pay for the animal, and you also have to pay kefil, second payment as well. It's a punitive fine. And then for shechita mechira, either for shechting or for selling the animal, so you have to pay either 4 or 5 times the amount of the animal. The fluctuation of price is going to be dependent on what kind of animal was stolen. Was it a shore or was it a seh? For a shore, you only pay, for a shore, you pay 5 times the amount, and for a seh, you pay 4 times the amount. Today's Gemara on Ayin Testament Beis is going to discuss why the discrepancy. It's an obvious question, which we could have asked at the beginning of the parak, but the Gemara in the back end of today's daf is going to ask why there should be such a discrepancy. Our mission discussed yesterday on Ayin Chesamad Beis the topic of a sale, but not a full sale. You retained part of the animal for yourself, so you did not sell the entire animal. The Mishnah gives an example where you sell 99% of the animal, but you retain a percentage of the animal. 1% of the animal you retain by yourself. So the Mishnah says that as a technicality, you're not going to be liable to dal vehei. You're not going to make the 4 or 5 time payment, because in order for the sale to generate this fine, you must sell the entire animal with no exception and no retention. The Gemara brought a machlokas between Levi and Rav. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's start with the Gemara. We did this yesterday, but this will get us back to the beginning of this discussion. So we're starting on the Gemara in Ayin Chesamad Beis. The Gemara begins. My chutz me'echad mi'me'ashabo. The Mishnah says that if you leave 1% of the animal by you, so you sold 99% of the animal, so because you didn't sell the entire animal, you're not going to have to pay dal vehei. So exactly what does that mean, a percentage? 1%. So I'm Rav chutz me'davar ne'itari ma'bashchita. So Rav's of the opinion that in order for the sale to be not a not a fully binding sale. It's a binding sale. Let me be clear about the way we're presenting it. The sale is going to be a binding sale. It's not going to generate the fine of dal vehei. Rav says, what do you have to retain for yourself? Something which is nitar ma'bishchita. Now, that's not perfectly clear what that means. We point this out yesterday. We quoted Rashi yesterday. We'll quote Rashi again. Nitar imo, Rashi says, kigom mibsaro. The something that becomes permitted through the shechting, which is the meat of the animal. So, in other words, you have to retain by you some of the edible portions of the animal. But Rashi points out, according to Rav, if it's the hoof, the horn, the shearings of the animal, that's not considered retention vis-a-vis the exemption from dal vehei. That is Rav's opinion. Levi amar chutz mi gizoseha. Levi says that even if you retain for yourself the shearings of the animal, which is not edible, which truth of the matter is that you're going to shear it anyway, and it's going to come off the animal anyway. Levi's of the opinion that any retention of the animal whatsoever, even the shearings of the animal, is going to create an exemption of the fine of dal vehei. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa says shearings. That even if you retain the shearings, that's not considered a sale vis-a-vis the payment of dal vehei. Mates for the Gemara challenges based on a brisa machra, chutz miyada. So we start off with the opinion of the Tanakama. Tanakama says that if you sell the animal with any retention for yourself, you keep the hand, the foot, again, the four legs, back legs, four legs, hind legs, the horn, the shearings. So if you retain anything for yourself, you're not going to be subject to dal vehei. Rabbi Omer, davar amakev b'shchita, and misham tishlam arba v'chamisha, v'shein amakev b'shchita, misham tishlam arba v'chamisha. Rabbi's of the opinion, if it's ma'akev b'shchita. Again, what does that mean? So again, we turn to Rashi. Rashi says, ma'akev b'shchita means that you retain for yourself such a significant portion of the animal, where if the animal did not have that, the animal would die instantaneously, immediately. In other words, Rashi describes it as being kind of like a trefa. So it has to be such a vital organ of the animal where the animal could not do without. without that. That is a significant retention. Then if you retain that for yourself, you don't pay dal vehei. But if you sell the animal, except for a portion of the animal, where quite frankly the animal does not need it, it's not a vital organ of the animal, so then you're going to be chayv dal vehei. That is Rebbe's opinion. And then the third opinion, the Brayso, Rosh Hashanah, and Lazar Omer, chutz mikarna, nimasham teshul me'arba v'chamisha, chutz migizusa, misham teshul me'arba v'chamisha. So the third opinion, the opinion of Rebbe Shimon Lazar and the Brayso, says that if you retain for yourself the horn of the animal, so that is significant, and therefore you wouldn't be subject to dal vehei. If you retain for yourself the shearings of the animal, that's not significant, and therefore you would be chayv dal vehei. The difference between the horns and the shearings, the Gemara is going to explain in just a moment. For our purposes right now, here's what we need to know. We have a Brisa. The Brisa records three opinions in it. In the Brisa, there was a Tanakhama, there was Rebbe and Reb Shimon and Elazar. Now, in terms of the Amorayim, so that was the first thing we were introduced to, and that there were two opinions amongst the Amorayim. There was Rav and there was Levi. So the Gemara now points out, Bishlam Levi Tanakhama. So Levi subscribes to the viewpoint of the Tanakhama, and which is great. So in other words, he has Tanaitic backing. Ela l'Rav, come on. But Rav, what does he hold like? Now Rav was of the opinion that as long as you retain for yourself a piece of edible meat of the animal, that's considered a retention. And therefore, you will not be subject to the dal vehei payment. There was no such opinion like that in the Braisa. So Rav is espousing a viewpoint which has no position in the Braisa. And that's difficult. So the Gemara says, El Rav Kaman, Amri Rav Damar Ki Aitana. So the Gemara says, fine. So Rav is going to be subscribing to another Braisa, which we're about to introduce ourselves to. Detayin, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Rishim and Elazar Omer, Machra Chutz Mi Yada, Chutz Mi Ragla, Eino Misham Teshul Mi Arba Vechamisha, Chutz Mi Karna, Chutz Mi Gizusa, Misham Teshul Mi Arba Vechamisha. Fine, there's the Braisa. And the Braisa says that if you retain for yourself the leg of the animal, the hind leg, the foreleg of the animal, so that is a significant retention, and therefore you're not be subject to dal vehei. If you sell all edible parts of the animal, and the only thing you retain for yourself are non-edible portions of the animal, that is considered a sale, full sale of the animal, and you would be subject to dal vehei. So this braisa, quoting the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, is in accordance with Rav. So Rav now does have a tana to back him. Now, b'maika miflegi. Now the Gemara says now. A lot of opinions in terms of what registers a sale for the dal vehei payment and what is considered enough of a retention for yourself, you're not going to pay dal vehei. Gemara wants to know, what's the basis of all this debate? Tanakama sefer v'tavcho kula be'inan amachro kula be'inan. So the Tanakama says, look, again, we go back to this discussion that we had yesterday. There are two things that will trigger the dal vehei payment. One is shechting the animal, and the other is selling the animal. So, just like shechting the animal, it's not, you don't shecht part of the animal. Shechting is an all or nothing procedure. Same thing is true regarding the sale. The sale is either all or it's nothing. Meaning, any time you leave for yourself any portion of the animal, and it does not matter what portion of the animal, that's not considered a full sale, and therefore you're not going to be liable, dal vehei. Only when you make a full sale of the animal with zero retention for yourself, then and only then you're going to be paying dal vehei. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Rebbe Savra v'tavcha mida dehave b'tvicha lafuke mida delo havya b'tvicha umachro domi d'tvicha. And Rebbe's of the opinion, look, I'm going to make the same equation of shechting and sale, but let's consider. When you shecht an animal, what part are you interested in? You're interested in the meat of the animal. When you sell the animal, what does the sale have to be? It has to be on the meat of the animal, the edible portions of the animal. Fine. That's Rebbe's opinion. And finally, Rebbe Shimon Elazar Savar, Karna Delo Lemigza Kaime Havishir Ve'en Misham Tisham Arba V'Chamisha Gizosa Delamegaz Kaima Lo Havishir Misham Tisham Arba V'Chamisha. And then the third opinion of the Brisa, which is Rebbe Shimon Elazar, says like this. The horn of the animal is part of the animal. And so therefore, that has to be sold with the animal in order for that to be considered a sale. The shearings of the animal are anyway coming off the animal. So that's not considered a retention, and therefore that sale would trigger off the dal vehei payment. Now, there's another brisa. Remember, there was an additional brisa that we brought in, because this additional brisa corroborated the viewpoint of Rav. And the Gemara says, "V'idach tana de bei Rabbi Shimon Elazar Savar yada v'raglav d'tzricha tvicha havishir v'lo misham teshul me'arba v'chamisha karna v'gizusa d'lo tzricha tvicha lo havishir." when you're talking about the edible portions of the animal, so the edible portions of the animal are what the shechita are going to permit. The non-edible portions of the animal is what the shechita is not going to permit. Now, kasha de Reb Shimon ben Elazar, ad Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Now, if you'll notice, in the first brisa, the third opinion of the first brisa is Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Then the Gemara quoted second brisa, which is also the viewpoint of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. However, Gemara now is raising an obvious point. The two Reb Shimon ben Elazars do not align with one another. So the Gemara gives a simple but non-elegant answer. Trei Tanai v'alibah de Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, you are correct. We have various reports in terms of what exactly is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, that was a lot of information, but basically it was one general question. When you sell an animal, that triggers off the 4 and 5 time payment for having either sold or shechted the animal. When you sell the animal, it has to be complete sale, and there can be nothing retained for yourself. The Mishnah describes it in percentages. Even if you withhold 1% of the animal for yourself, you're not going to be paying dal v'hei. You have to sell the entire animal. And then the question amongst the Amoraim and the Tanaim is, what is considered significant retention for yourself that you're not going to pay dal v'hei? The halacha follows that of Rebbe in the Brisa. I mean, the Rambam goes like Rebbe in the Brisa. It says that in order for it to be a significant retention, it has to be a vital organ of the animal. Where if you were to withhold the vital organ of the animal, where the animal could not have survived without that organ, that is considered significant retention. Let's continue in the Gemara. We are in Ayin Chesem and Beis. We are 2/3 of the way down. The first word in the line is Elazar. And we are now continuing with the Brisa. If I stole an animal that was either missing a leg, or lame, or blind, or if I stole an animal that belonged to partners, not a single owner, chayev. So one would be liable. Now, if you have, let's say, partners who steal, okay, literally partners in crime, so you have partners who steal, so and then they were to shech the animal, they would be exempt. So the Gemara immediately combats this with another brisa that says that if you have partners who steal and then they shech, you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says it depends who the partners steal from. If one partner is stealing from another partner, so since he owns 50% of the animal, so that's not going to kick in the dal v'hei payment. We've discussed this earlier as well. The point, the basic idea, is that when you shecht an animal, a stolen animal, and you're going to be subject to the payment of dal v'hei, it has to be what the Gemara described earlier as kulo be'isser. It has to be the animal being totally not yours. If one partner stole from his other partner, so since he's a 50% owner, it's not kulo be'isser. It's wrong, it's prohibited, but it's not kulo be'isser, and so therefore you don't pay the full payment. So this is the Gemara's way of resolving the two brises. Heis ve'revel Rav Nachman, yachol shutav sheganu mechaver v'shutvin sheganu sheganu v'yei chayavin tamalama v'tavcha kulo be'inan v'leika. So the Gemara says that when I have either partner stealing or one partner stealing from another, so then you're not, and one of the partners shecht, so you're not going to be liable dal v'hei, because you need to have shechted the entire stolen animal. So Elam Rav Nachman lo kasha kam b'shutav shetavach ladas chavero kam b'shutav shetavach shelo ladas chavero. So the Gemara says fine. So here's how we're gonna resolve the two brises. Okay. So let's say you have partners in crime. They steal an animal and one of the partners shechs the animal. Sometimes they're going to be chayv dal v'hei and sometimes they're not. And the difference, says the Gemara, is going to be really simple. If let's say after the partners have stolen the animal, one partner says to the other, hey, do me a favor. Right. Let's go even one step further. Okay. Good. We stole the animal. That's wonderful. But now let's go one step further. Let's shech the animal. So now one is shechting on behalf of himself and on behalf of his partner. So then you're chayv dal v'hei. Now, should bother us, because we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned this back in Ksuvos, and we learned this back in Kedushin, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, I can't tell someone to do an aver for me, to which the Gemara is going to say here, as the Gemara said earlier as well, this is one of the notable exceptions to the rule. The shechting of a stolen animal, where if I don't shecht it myself, but I appoint somebody to shecht it, this is one of the exceptions where there is shlichus for an avera. So I can assign somebody else to do my avera of shechting. So if one partner tells the other partner, hey, shecht it on our behalf, so there you will have the principle of shechita be'avera, even though you didn't do it yourself, and therefore you're going to be chayv da'avehe. Okay. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay. And parenthetically, let's just go back for a moment to the earlier points in the Braisa. The earlier points of the Braisa is if I were to steal either a animal that was missing a limb, or an animal that was lame, or an animal that was blind. So you could have made the argument, I didn't sell or I didn't shech the entire animal. The animal was missing something. The point Rashi here accentuates is the idea that, look, it's true the animal is missing a limb, but that's the way the animal came to me. And as a result of the fact that I shechted it, I shechted whatever I stole, and therefore I'm going to be chayiv. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Machr Chutz Misholshim Yom Chutz, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to ask a series of questions. Let's take this step by step. Machr Chutz Misholshim Yom. Let's say I sell the animal except for the first 30 days. So Rashi over here describes, Esebo Malachti. So in other words, I make a sale of the animal, but for the first 30 days post-sale, I retain the rights of the animal. Sold the animal, but part of the stipulation of the sale is that at least for the next 30 days, the animal is going to work for me, even though the animal is owned by you. So, or that's one example. Or chutz mi malachto, or let's say I sell the animal except for its work. Rashi explains once again. What that means is as follows. I'm selling animal to you. You want to shecht it? By all means, go ahead. It's your animal. You can shecht it immediately. But if you want to work the animal, I exclude you from the rights of working the animal. The working of the animal is still going to be retained by me. So in other words, these two examples are basically sales that are not absolute sales. In the first case, I, for the first 30 days post-sale, retain the animal by me so that it works by me. And the second example, I sell you the animal so that you can shecht it, but if you want to work it, you don't have the right to do so. I hold that by me. Chutz me ubra, the third example that Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, is that I sell the animal except for the fetus inside the animal. Mahu. So in all these cases, what would be the halacha? These are all cases in which there was a sale, but there was a retention. In the cases 1 and 2, there's a retention of work. In case number 3, there's a retention of the fetus. Now, in terms of the fetus, the Gemara goes on to explain, Aliba daman, damar uba yerech imohu lo tibayalach. Now, we get back to a classic discussion the Gemara has time and again, and that is, how do view a fetus in utero? Is the fetus in utero viewed as yerech imo? It's really a limb. It's a limb of its host mother. In this case, it's an animal, but still, the idea is that right now for the time while it's in utero, it's an appendage of the mother. So the Gemara says, "Lo tibaylach da'ashir da'hashayir be." So then, if I'm selling an animal except for an appendage, that is considered a retention because that's selling the animal but holding back for myself one of its appendages. But if you subscribe to the viewpoint that the way to view a fetus is that it is not an appendage of the mother. Obviously, it's connected to the mother. Obviously, it's getting nourished by the mother, but it's not considered an appendage of the mother. It's a separate entity, just happens to be in utero. So the Gemara says, "My meimar amina kevin de mechubar ba havishir." So here, within this viewpoint, I can still construct the question. The question is, okay, it's an independent entity, but attached. Odilma kevin de lemefarish mina kai lo havishir. Or on the other hand. Yes, right now it's currently attached, but we know we can prognosticate pretty easily. The prognosis is it's going to become detached. She's going to deliver this baby, and then they're going to be detached from one another. So maybe it's not considered a retention. So Igadarmi, the Gemara says that's one way we can ask the question of Rav Yirmiyah. Gemara says we can ask the question in a different way as well. Kevin de lav yerech imohu lo havishir. We could start off with the assumption that if you subscribe to the viewpoint that a fetus in utero is not an appendage, it's a separate entity. So then if I sell the animal except for the uterus, sorry, except for the fetus. So that's not considered retention because those are two separate entities. Or the Gemara says we can construct the following argument. Yes, it's not an appendage. Yes, it's a separate entity. However, we also know that if I shech the mother while the fetus is in utero, even as a separate entity, it will become permitted to eat through the shechita of its mother. This is the basic idea of a ben pekua. As long as the fetus is in utero, even if it's a separate entity, it will be niter al yedei shechitas ima, will become permitted through the shechita of its mother. So the Gemara says, so that could make the argument then that even though two separate entities, but still connected on this halachic plane, and therefore if I withhold the sale of the fetus in the sale of the animal, that's considered a retention, and therefore you wouldn't be chayv dal the hay. Teku, the Gemara leaves these questions, these three questions. The Gemara doesn't even explicate the questions one and two. But the point is that I retain either its labor or I retain its fetus. In all these questions, the Gemara leaves off teku unresolved. By Rav Papa, we are on the very bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We're going to ask more questions. Ganva kata umachra mahu. Let's say I steal an animal. Now, previously we talked about the case where the animal was missing a limb, but that's the way you stole it. Here, in this case, I stole the animal. The animal had all four of its legs, and I amputate one of the legs. And then after amputating one of the legs, then I sell the animal. So on one hand, the argument over here is I didn't sell the entire animal, meaning I kept one of the legs for myself. So, and that's clearly a retention. The Gemara says, yeah, but on the other hand, you can make the argument that it's true that I cut off one of the legs, I amputated one of the legs of the animal. But in terms of the sale, I sold whatever was left of the animal, and therefore that should be considered a complete and full sale, and that should generate the fine of Dal Vehe. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved as well. You must say in this case that we just discussed that the cutting off the leg is not a shinui. Meaning, well, let's go back to what we learned earlier in the perek. We learned earlier in the perek that when I steal an item, I make a shinui in the item, a physical change on the animal. Your kone b'shinui, you acquire the animal through the physical change in the animal. And therefore, it no longer belongs to the owner. Obviously, you need to make restitution, that which you stole, but it no longer belongs to him. In order to be chayv dal v'hei, I have to shecht or sell the animal that still is owned by the original owner. Over here, when the Gemara is entertaining this discussion of, I cut off one of its legs, and the Gemara is asking the question, are you chayav dal dehe, yes or no? The Gemara doesn't even whisper anything about shinui. Why not? So the answer is self-evident, but yet, just it's good to articulate it. It must be that cutting off one of the legs is not considered enough of a shinui, where it's going to now leave it and remove it from the ownership of the original owner.
It's not a shinui, but it's not a final order.
Right, that I. It's so funny. I was thinking it. I didn't want to say it. Okay, but you said it. Meaning, how would Rebbe deal with this issue? Because Rebbe said that in order for the retention to be a retention, you have to retain a vital organ. Right. So that part's difficult. Okay. I thought it also. I don't have an answer. So, but it's a good point to point out. Tanu Rabbanu, we are on the very bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Gan Avinasan La Acher V'Tavach. You steal the animal. You give it to you subcontract somebody else to shecht it. Now again, we know that we just discussed this a moment ago. This is one of the notable exceptions of Ein Shlichut Dvar Aveira. Normally, you don't subcontract an Aveira, right? In other words, you can. Even as I hear myself, you're not allowed to. In other words, you certainly have the ability to subcontract an Aveira, but you're not going to get registered with the Aveira. It's only the person who actually does the crime. Okay, sorry for the terrible pun, but he'll do the time. Generally speaking, that's how halacha works as well. This is a notable exception, where if I instruct somebody else to shecht an animal that I stole, I'm going to be saddled with the payment of dal v'hei. So, ganav v'nasan la'ach le'tavach, ganav v'nasan la'acher umachar, or let's say I subcontract the sale of the animal so that somebody else sells the animal. So again, in these cases, even though I'm not the one, I'm the ganav, but I'm not the one who actually shechted or sold the animal, but if I instructed somebody else to do so, I'm going to be saddled with the dal vehei payment. Top of Ayin Testament Aleph, ganav vehikdish. Let's say I stole the animal and I was makdish the animal, I sanctified the animal. So basically now I moved its reshus from my property over to the Beis HaMikdash. It's no different than a sale, and therefore I'm chayv dal vehei. Ganav vehikif. Let's say I sold it, it just happens to be, I sold it on credit. So in other words, I didn't get paid for it yet, but I sold it. And I'm going to get paid for it, I sold it on credit. Ganav vehichlif. Or let's say I sold it through a barter. So ganav v'nasan b'matana. Or let's say I stole it and I gave it off as a gift. Ganav uparachovo. Let's say I stole it and I used it as payment for an obligation that I had. Ganav uparachovo, ganav upara behekefo. Same basic idea. I had a tab and I had to pay off my tab. So I stole an animal and I used it to pay off my tab. Ganav v'shalach savlanos beveis chamav. Or let's say I stole it and to try to impress my new in-laws, so I give it to my new in-laws as a gift. So it's okay, it won't be that impressive when he learns how I got the animal, but right now for the here and now, this is how I got it. So Misham Tashlomi Arba V'Chamisha. In all these cases, the one underlying idea is that I transitioned it from one domain to another domain, and therefore this is Mechira, and I'm going to be liable for Dal Vehe. Should bother you, as it bothers Tosos, the top Tosos on the Samud, that a couple days ago we discussed the makdish of an animal, the sanctification of an animal, back in the Ayin Vav, and the Gemara says that is not considered moving its rishus. In fact, if you take a quick look back, Ayin Vav, three days ago in the Daf, the Gemara says that when you steal an animal and makdish it as a karban, that is not considered shina rishus. I'm quoting the Gemara 9 Vav Amud Aleph. It's right in the middle of the Amud. It's right before the two dots. So the Gemara says, Ela la'olam loshna kachi kashim, loshna kachim kalem, udikash lach mali machru lehejo, mali machru l'shamayim. So the Gemara 3 days ago said that what's the difference if I sell it to a person versus being makdish the animal? And the Gemara that there said, "Machru lehejo mi karatura deruvin v'ashtatura deshimon." When I sell an animal, it starts off as being Reuven's animal, but after the sale, it's Shimon's animal. It goes through the classic shina rishus. However, machru l'shamayim. But if I makdish the animal, mi karatura deruvin v'ashtatura deruvin. It was Reuven's animal. You know what it is after I makdish the animal? It's still Reuven's animal. So on Daf Ayin Vav, the Gemara says that when you're makdish an animal, that's not considered shina rishus. And our Gemara 9 Tesamad Aleph says very clearly that when you're makdish an animal, it is considered a shina rishus. How did you understand that? So Tosus makes a point back in Ayin Vav, Amud Aleph. Tosus makes the same exact point over here in Ayin Tesamad Aleph. And that is that there are two types of hekdesh. There's hekdesh in terms of making it a karban, and there's hekdesh in terms of giving it over to the Beis HaMikdash as Bedek HaBayis, as temple property. If I makdish it as a karban, it still has my name attached to it. Therefore, that's not considered shina rishus. Therefore, you're not going to be chayv dal vehei. If, however, I give it over to temple property, that is considered changing domain, that is considered shina rishus, and then I would be chayv dal vehei. That's how Tosfos resolved the discrepancy between the Gemara in Ayin Vav and the Gemara in Ayin Tes. Okay. Almost up to the next Mishnah. The Gemara says, what did we just learn together? My Kamash Malan. Okay, top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, four lines from the top of the Amud. What did we just learn over here? So, Ashmin and Reisha, Ganav and Asal, Achav, Tavach, Yeshlech, and Varavera. Afagav, Debechol, Torah, Kula, Yeshlech, and Varavera. Hacha, Yeshlech, and Varavera. So the Gemara says, and again, I know we already made this point, but the Gemara now is saying it, is that this is one of the notable exceptions where, even though I didn't shecht the animal myself, I stole it, but I didn't shecht it myself, and I instructed someone else to shecht it, I'm going to be burdened with the responsibility of, as if I shechted it myself, I'm going to have to pay the dal v'hei. This is going to break the rule. It's the exception to the rule of ein shlech l'dvar aver. My taima, utzvachom achro. The Gemara says, and the reason why, now if you remember when we did this in the beginning of the perek, the Gemara gave three separate drushes. Here the Gemara is focusing on one of the drushes. So, utzvachom machro, ma mechira delo esha delo v'yidei acher, so the Gemara says, now when I sell an animal, I obviously need another person involved. I cannot have a sale unless somebody else is involved in the sale. So by tvich, by shechting the animal, the same thing could be true. Even though I could do the tvich by myself, but if I have somebody else involved, i.e., I instruct somebody else to shech the animal, I'm also going to be liable as well. And another point that we learned together in this braisa is that if I steal an animal and makdish the animal, I'm going to be liable to dal v'hei. Because by being makdish the animal, and now we could say it like Tosos, because we learned Tosos together, if I makdish the animal, meaning give it over to Bedek HaBayis, so that's no different than selling it to another person. It's now in somebody else's property, and therefore I'm going to be subject to the payment of dal v'hei. Ayin Tes Aman Aleph, we're now beginning the new Mishnah. This Mishnah is basically going to tell us one simple rule. The Mishnah is going to give us a number of different ways to see it, but it's all basically one rule. In order to be a ganav, you have to make a kinyan. You have to make an acquisition on the item. You have to legally acquire the item for yourself. Then and only then are you a ganav. And then and only then are you going to be subject to all the punishments that are due to a ganav. So for example, if you steal the animal and then witnesses come and report that you stole, you have to pay kefil. If you steal the animal and then you either sell or you shech the animal, you're subject to 4 or 5 times the payment of the animal. All this only begins when you do a kinyan on the item. So let's see the Mishnah inside. Basically make this point time and again. The Mishnah begins, Ganav birishus habalim, v'tavach umacher chutz mirishusam. Let's say I steal the animal while in the domain of the owner, but the shechting or the sale comes outside the domain. Meaning, I somehow get the animal from his property to outside his property. Oh, sheganav chutz mirishusam v'tavach umacher birishusam. Let's say I steal the animal from his property, meaning I take it out of the owner's property, and then in terms of either selling the animal or shechting the animal, I bring it back into his property. The point is that once I took it out of his property, I've now made a kinyan on the item. I am now officially a ganav, and therefore, regardless of where I shech the animal or sell the animal, I'm subject to all the punishments. Oh, sheganav v'tavach umacher chutz mirishusam. Or let's say, and this point is really now at this point in time, superfluous, let's say I do everything outside the property of the owner, meaning I steal the animal, removing it from his property, and I either shecht or sell the animal outside of his property. Now I'm on the hook for the harshest penalty of having to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. Aval. However, if let's say I were to steal and shecht or sell the animal while the animal's still in the owner's rishus, so then I'm going to be exempt. Now let's be clear. Exemption over here means I'm not paying the penalties of kefal and dal v'hei. Obviously, if I go into somebody's property and I shech their animal, I'm a mazik. I just damaged. And obviously, I'm going to have to make restitution on the damage in which I've done. The patur over here, the exemption over here, is the exemptions of the additional payments of kefal and dal v'hei for being a ganav. In order to be a ganav, you need formal acquisition in order to be a ganav. Haya moshcha v'yotzei. Let's say while dragging the animal out, the animal dies. Birishus habalim. Now, so I have all the intention of the world to steal. It just happens to be my misfortune, or fortune. I guess it depends on how you look at it. But the animal dies prior to the animal getting out of the owner's property. So, pater. So then I'm going to be exempt. Because even though clearly I had all the intent in the world of stealing the animal, I clearly wanted to steal it. Just I wasn't successful. Animal dies before it gets out. So now, as a strict technicality, I didn't do a kinyan on the animal, therefore I'm not a ganav, therefore I don't pay all the Tashlomei Geneva. Not the kefal, not the dalvehe. He gibio tsim rishus abalim. If let's say I pick the animal up, even while in the rishus balim hagbal, that's a kinyan. Therefore, I acquired it. Therefore, now I'm on the hook for everything kefal and dalvehe. Or let's say I drag it out of the property of the owner. So then I did a formal kinyan. Therefore, I'm going to pay kefal and dalvehe. Umeis, in any of these cases, the animal dies afterwards, chayiv. So now I'm going to be liable because I'm a ganav. Okay. Nasnu lebechoros beno. Let's say you give it to bechoros beno. Now, who the you is over here, so Rashi is not perfectly clear, meaning he's clear, but Rashi brings in two opinions in terms of who it is. We're going to go with Rashi's preferred pshat, and we're talking about the ganav. Meaning the ganav stole the animal, and then after having stolen the animal, so he's got a firstborn son. I know it's a little bit strange that he's looking to take his stolen animal that he stole, and use it to satisfy a religious obligation. But, I mean, that's just life. People do that. So he stole an animal, and then he had pigeon aben with his son. So now he uses it in order to pay for the pigeon aben of his son. So he goes over to his resident Cohen and says, "Hi, how are you? Here, I'm looking to pay for my bechor." And he hands it over to his resident Cohen. Oh, lebachov. Or let's say he uses it to pay some obligation that he had. L'shomer chinam, l'shoal, ulanose sachar, ulasocher. Or he hands it over to any one of the custodians. Somebody who is a shomer chinam, watches it for free. Shoal, someone who borrows it. Nose sachar, someone who rents it. I'm sorry. Someone who watches it for pay, and socher, someone who rents it, by yamoshcha umeis, and he pulls it out and it dies. Birshus abalim, in the owner of the balim, pater. So then he's going to be pater. Again, the point is, it's the same point time and again. As long as no formal kinyan was done, even though he was looking to pay off an obligation with it, give it to a custodian, if no formal kinyan was done, if the animal's still in the owner's property, so then he's going to be exempt. However, if he picks up the animal or he successfully drags it out, and only then afterwards the animal dies, so then he's going to be on the hook for all the payments of being a ganav. Baye amemar. Yeah.
Didn't we learn earlier that Meshicha is a form of kinyan?
Yes, we did. And the Meshicha has to be done outside of the owner's property. Meaning a Meshicha can be Kona, but a Meshicha is Kona in a neutral environment.
Isn't the consent of the seller required also?
That's a given. Meaning if the...
the guy's son, there's no consent, so even though he's in Meshicha...
It's correct. And what we're learning over here, agreed. And what we're learning over here is that in the Geneva, so even though we're using terminology like Kenyan, now, kinyan, generally speaking, means that there's a transaction, which means that there are two parties who are in agreement that we're going to sell. Now, by geneva, there obviously is no agreement. You don't want me to steal it. You want it for yourself. It's totally understood. But we're using the kinyan model in order to establish when I'm officially a ganav. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Now, by a meimar, tikna meshicha b'shomim olo. Now, by a shomer, when you are a custodian of an item, are we going to be using the same measurements of kinyanim, like we talk about in terms of a transaction? I'm Rav Yemer Tashma, so Rav Yemer says, well, I think the answer is obvious. So, the Mishnah over here is describing where I am going to hand it over to a shomer. I'm stealing the animal from the owner's property. I'm handing it over to a shomer. So the Mishnah describes where all the methods of kinyanim, where either the Mishnah describes picking it up, or the Mishnah says pulling it out of his property. So my love shomer. Ushmami na tikna meshicha b'shomerim. Now who's pulling it out? Presumably the shomer is pulling it out, and we're using all the classic kinyanim that is involved in the transaction. So Amalei lo ganav. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe it's the ganav who's pulling it out. The Gemara says hatan le'resha. So the Gemara says, well, that can't be, because the Mishnah gave a number of cases. The first case in the Mishnah is where the ganav is pulling it out of the property of the owner. And the Mishnah already established that for a ganav, either he is going to be pulling it fully out of the property of the homeowner, or he'll pick it up within the property of the homeowner. So we've already established by a ganav that he's pulling it out. So when the Mishnah then goes on to discuss the Shomer, presumably the Mishnah wants to make a new point, which is it's the Shomer that's pulling it out. So the Gemara says, Hatan le'resha. So Tana ganav sheganav mi beis habalim, v'tana ganav sheganav mi beis shomer. So the Gemara says, well, maybe in both cases it's the ganav, it's just a question of where the ganav is pulling it out from. In case number one in the Mishnah, he's pulling it out away from the homeowner. In case number two, he's pulling it out of the Shomer's property. So Amale Ravashi lo tidche. So Ravashi says that's really a forced explanation of our Mishnah. Mali ganav sheganav mi beis shomer, mali ganav sheganav mi beis balim. I don't even know why there would be a difference in terms of the Mishnah needing to amplify both points. Once we've established that if you're a ganav and you take it away from the homeowner's property, of course if you're a ganav taking it from the shomer's property, of course you're going to be liable. Why would you think there's a difference, and why would the Mishnah then need to amplify both points? Elalav shomer. So it must be that the second case in the Mishnah is not where the ganav pulls it out, but the ganav is telling the shomer, hey, do me a favor. I want to steal that animal. It's a funny scenario. I want to steal that animal. I want you to watch it for me. You'll pull it out. Take the Mashiach b'shomrim. And the Gemara says, and in terms of shmira, responsibility, / liability, so in terms of a shomer, acquiring is not really the best word to describe it, but taking upon himself all that liability, it's at the point of kinyanim. Meaning, Mashiach, Hagbah, all the classic ways the transaction is done, Shmamina. The Gemara says, the conclusion is pretty sound. Itmar Nami, the Gemara quotes another statement corroborating, Amar of Elazar, Kiderek Shetiknu Mashiach, Bilakuchos, Kach Tiknu Mashiach, Beshomrim. Rav Elazar says it very clearly. Just like all the Mashiach works in terms of creating a basic acquisition between two parties, same thing is true regarding a Shomer. Your acceptance of liability will take place at the point of Mashiach. Tainami Hach, the Gemara quotes the Brisa as well, Kederek Shetiknu Mashiach Belakuchos, Kach Tiknu Mashiach Beshomrim. And then the Brisa makes another point, Ukshem Shakarka Niknes Bekesav Vishtar Vechazaka, Kach Tzchirus Niknes Bekesav Vishtar Vechazaka. When I make a acquisition on property, we learned this back in Kedushin, the beginning of Kedushin, when I make an acquisition on property, I need to do either Kesav Shtar Chazaka, money, contract, or proprietary act. Same thing is true regarding a rental. How, at what point in time do I become the legal renter of a property? Kesef, Shtar, Uvechazaka. Even though I'm not buying the property, I'm only renting the property, I'm only leasing the property, but still, that if whatever means of acquisition works in terms of buying the property, is going to be the same method of acquisition for renting as well. So, Schiris Demai. So the Gemara says, now, what are we talking about? Schiris Demetaltan, we're talking about leasing movables. The Gemara says, Metaltali, B'nei Shtar, Nenu. We're not talking about leasing movables, because when you're leasing a movable, so contract is not how it works. It works through Mashiach. So the Gemara says, Amar Chisda Schiris Tekarka. So obviously, we're talking about renting property. Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar. Ra'u Shehitmin Bechorshin. Okay. The next Gemara that we're going to be doing from here until the Mishnah, on the bottom of the Amud, are going to be describing the basic difference between Ganev and Gzela. Now, we've heard this time and again, and then it's odd, but it's true that we are well into the seventh parak of Bava Kamma. The seventh parak of Bava Kamma is the place in Shas that discusses the topic of theft. Okay, this is it. Meaning, and we're almost done. Just a couple more days to go until we finish the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, 3 short days from now. 3.5, however you want to judge it. But on Pagim Omid Beis, we start the 8th parak, which is a new topic altogether. And it's an oddity, but this is just simply how Gemara works. Even though we are well into the 7th parak of Baba Kamma, it's at this point in time we're going to be discussing the two different types of theft. I think we're all familiar. Geneva is when I steal an item from a person and I do it in stealth. Gzela is when I steal it from a person in broad daylight. Broad daylight means he knows I'm stealing it from him. I'm right here. and I'm just taking it away from him. Now, it's odd, and the Gemara here is about to point it out, that the Torah is harsher in terms of punishment for Geneva than it is for Gezeila. If I steal an item in stealth, so I'm going to have to, and I'm caught having after having stolen the item, I'm going to have to not only make restitution, kefal. And then, if I compound my mistake by either shechting or selling the item that I stole, assuming it's an animal, I'm going to have to pay dalvehei. And that's all by geneva. Gzela, where I'm just taking it right out of his hands and he sees me, and I'm right here, so obviously I have to, heishiv as a gzela, I have to return the item which I stole, but no kefal, no dalvehei. That's unusual. The Gemara over here, and today, the remainder of today's daf, is going to be addressing that issue. Amar Rabbi Lazar. This is it. This is the Gemara's. Raushi Hidman Bechorshin. And let's say a person is hiding in the forest. Right? Rashi. Shenitman Biyar Ligno Behemos Haro'os Sham. Okay, he's hiding in the forest. And his purpose is to steal from the shepherd. And then he steals an item. So he not only steals the item, but shechs the item as well. Dal vehei. Meaning this is a classic example of geneva. Amai, halo mashach. So the Gemara over here says, what about the Mashiach? Amar chista sheikisha b'makel. So the Gemara says he hit it with a stick. Hitting it with a stick is tantamount to Mashiach, and therefore he made a kinyan. Amai. V'kevan de'ra'u gazlan hu. So the Gemara says, wasn't he seen stealing the animal? So the Gemara says, and embedded in this question is, isn't he a gazlan, not a ganav? And as a gazlan, there's no dal v'hei. So the Gemara says, "Kevin to come in mitre minayu ganav hu." So the Gemara says, "No, he was hiding in the forest. Him hiding in the forest is stealth, and therefore falls into the category of geneva." Ve'la gazlan hechidami. So the Gemara says, "So give me examples of gzela." So the Gemara here is going to give two Tanakh examples of gzela. Am Rabbi Abahu kigon benayo ben Yahuyada shenamar. One example that is given by Rabbi Abahu is benayahu, the general of David HaMelech. He steals the spear from the Egyptian. He kills him with the spear. So, just takes it right out of his hand. That's Gezela, not Geneva. Rav Yochanan gives a second Tanakh example, which is in the middle of Sefer Shoftim. Shenemar v'yasimu lo ba'alei shchem ma'arvim al roshei harim v'yigzilu es kol asher yavor aleihem baderech. An ambush in which, after ambushing somebody, steals from him. So the Gemara says, now Rabbi Abba, my time lo amar mehai. So ride in Rabbi Abba, choose a parsha of Shoftim. The Pesukim is Shoftim. Amlecha kevin demitmura itzmure lo gazlan eninu. So his Rabbi Abba says, yeah, but there, they're hiding in ambush, and since they're hiding in ambush, that's not gzela, that's geneva. Rav Yochanan's defense, Rav Yochanan had to comment, mirid lo nechsu inchi vin ni arku mi nayu. Rav Yochanan says, no, what are you talking about? The ambush is not because they want to steal in stealth. They're going to come out of ambush, and they're going to steal it. The ambush is just simply to catch them by surprise, so that they don't run away. But in terms of the actual act of stealing, it's done right in his face. And so therefore, that follows Gzela. The Gemara doesn't... It's interesting. The Gemara here doesn't go in the other direction. Why didn't Rav Yochanan choose the psukim that was quoted by Rabbi Abba? Anyway, so here the Gemara, this is the Gemara that speaks out the basic distinction. Geneva is where I steal an item, but with the but I conceal my identity in doing so. Gzela, I have no interest in concealing my identity. Here I am. And so it prompts the Gemara to ask the classic question. The students of Rav Yochanan and Zakkai ask the Rebbe, how come it is that the Torah is harsher with the Ganav than it is with the Gazlan? Amar lehem zeh hishve kvod eved lechvod kono, v'zeh lo hishve kvod eved lechvod kono. So the Gemara gives, I'd say, the classic answer, meaning, I think we're all familiar with this answer, Rashi brings it down in Chumash, and that is as follows. You got to give some credit to the Gazlan. Some. Okay, what he's doing is wrong, it's inexcusable, he's stealing, but at least give him the following credit. He fears man as much as he fears God. Meaning, not at all, but at least he puts them on the same pedestal. I'm stealing from you. I'm not interested in hiding my identity. Here I am. I'm stealing from you. And I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of God. Meaning, all this is good for me. However, when it comes to the ganav, So he's more afraid of people than he is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not ready to identify himself to people, but he doesn't seem to care that God is watching the fact that he's stealing. So he's more afraid of people than he is than he is of his creator. And so that's why the Torah is harsher with the Ganav than that of the Gazlan. Kaviyachol asa ayin shamata ki ilo eino roe, the ozen shamata ki ilo eino shamas. And it's as if no one's watching and no one's seeing. Shenemar hoy hama amikim Hashem listiretsa v'haya b'machshech maaseihem. They are in the dark in their actions, meaning as if nobody's seeing them. Uksiv v'yomer lo yirakav lo yavin alokei Yaakov. God's not seeing me. I have nothing to worry about. Uksiv ki amru azav Hashem es haaretz v'ein Hashem roeh. God doesn't see this at all. I'm doing this and not really sure how to explain this, but God doesn't see me doing this, and everything is all good. So that is why the Torah is harsher by the Ganav than that of the Gazlan. I'm Rabbi Meir, Mashal Mishum Rabbi Gamliel, Lama Hadavadome. The Gemara over here gives a parable to make this point even clearer, and that is L'shnei B'nei Adam Shayu Be'ir V'asu Mishta. Two people in the community are making a wedding. Now, Echad Ziman is Bnei Ha'ir, V'lo Ziman is Bnei HaMelech. Now, one person in the city decides, you know what? I'm inviting everyone in the town, but I'm not inviting the king. And the Acher, Lo Ziman is Bnei Ha'ir, V'lo Ziman is Bnei HaMelech. And the other person is just simply a misery. But at least he's an equal opportunity misery. I'm not inviting people in my town. I'm not inviting the king. I'm not inviting anybody. Eza Mehen Onsho Meruba. Now, who is the king going to be angrier with? Obviously, the one who invites the people but doesn't invite the king. That is clearly more of an affront to the king, as opposed to the other person who is a misery, but at least he is an equal opportunity misery. Haviyomer zeh sheziman ben ha'ir v'lo ziman ben ha'melech. Amar Rabbi Meir. Last point of the morning. And that is Barei kamagado kovach shel melacha. Let's talk about the value of work. Working is wonderful. Working is valuable. And the Gemara says, and consider. Because here is another classic Gemara that discusses, why is it that if I steal an ox, and I either sell or shech the ox, so I have to pay five times its value, whereas if I steal a sheep, and I either shech or sell it, I only have to pay four times its value. Clearly, there is more damage that's being done for having stolen and shechted an ox than that of a sheep. So the Gemara says, yeah, the difference is that an ox works and a sheep doesn't. And you know, obviously we're talking about not people, we're talking about animals, but it speaks to the value of work. When I stop somebody from working, so that is that's more egregious than just stealing a sheep, which is going to be sitting there and doing nothing. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Danny, your location was excellent. I'm Rav Yochanan Zakkai Barei Kama Gadol Kavod Abrios Shur Shalach Beraglav Chamisha Seshir Kivo Aktefo Arba. And then the Gemara also gives another reason why it is that there's a discrepancy between an ox and a sheep. An ox walks on its own. So for you to steal the ox, you don't have to pick up the ox, and I'd venture to say you can't pick up the ox. But you're not picking up the ox, so you didn't suffer any embarrassment in the theft. However, when it comes to the stealing of the sheep, so the kind of picks up the sheep, puts it on his shoulders, has to walk out, suffers a nominal amount of embarrassment, and therefore gets a little bit of a break, does not have to pay five times the amount. If he subsequently shechs or slaughters the animal, only needs to pay four times the amount. So the Gemara really gives two explanations why it is that the ox is five and the sheep is four. One because bitul malacha, a second because the ganav himself suffered a little bit of embarrassment.